Amen. Do you feel like worshiping the Lord? Go ahead, do it one more time. Lord, I love you. Jesus, I praise you. Lord, I worship you, Lord Jesus. I magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 21. Amen. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Saying and seeing is my topic today. Would you say that with me? Saying, that's with your mouth, and seeing with your eyes. Amen. Let me speak on this in just a moment. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask, Lord, even now together, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that you would both anoint myself to speak of your word, and Lord, that you would open every hearing, every ear, Lord, every heart, Lord, that your word would be manifest or made real in our own lives. Lord, help us to receive your word, and Lord, help us to do your will. And Lord, we ask together your blessing and your help in this service today. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Well, it may seem just a little bit familiar to some of you because a week ago on Wednesday night was the last time I was teaching from this pulpit. I used this very same verse of scripture. It hasn't left me. I can't get rid of it. It's still in me, and I got to let it out. So today is kind of like another chapter or just a continuation of the thought from that Wednesday night service. If you were unable to be here or just were not here on that service, I hope you would go to our website and listen to a service that has gone by. It was Wednesday a week ago, not this week, but last week. I taught on this very same verse of scripture. Amen. Just a little while ago, it was called a declaration of faith, declaring something in God. Amen. On that Wednesday night, I was sharing with people three things that I was trying to get in our own hearts. If you remember that, if you were here, maybe you would say it with me. God is good. I am blessed. And he shall supply all my need. Amen. Now, this certainly is not original with me. In fact, I know that there are churches all over our fellowship that believe this very same thing. In fact, I have notes from Brother Cunningham, and I've heard him speak directly in service that he says these three things every single day at noontime. When it strikes noontime, he stops what he's doing and he says out loud, no matter where he is, no matter what he's doing or what's going on, he stops and he says, God is good, I am blessed, and he shall supply all my need. Amen. I appreciate Bishop Cunningham on the work there at Chesapeake, Virginia. It's the church that I was in when I was in Virginia, and I like to visit there every once in a while. I also know a very important elder in my life, Brother Jeff Chavis, who's a bishop in Spring Lake, North Carolina. Very often, I've been in their service a few times, and at offering time, they will say the same thing. God is good, I am blessed, and he shall supply all my need. Amen. So, and it's not just those two churches. I'm trying to convey a principle here. I'm trying to convey a thought, something that is biblical, something that is real, that will help you to be a to let your life be blessed. Amen. Proverbs 18, verse 21, I read at the beginning, it's also used to encourage people not to use destructive, negative, and hurtful words. Someone once said that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's completely untrue. Words can cut like a knife. Words can hurt deeply. Amen. But words are also important in the kingdom of God. I know people here that know firsthand that words that you say, words preaching are words. Words are powerful. They have a power to convey a curse or a blessing. Words can destroy, or words can heal. Words are powerful. Words can tear down, or words can build up. Words are powerful. The writer of Proverbs tells us that our words can produce death and life. Today, again, let me try to emphasize, I want to talk about the power of speaking life and faith. Amen. Our words are important. Be careful what you say. Not just in your private times, but yes, be careful what you say in your private time. Words to a child can shape their character. Words to a spouse will shape your relationship. Words to God have power. Child of God, now, I want to narrow it right on down here, and I want to try to be explicit. I want to try to explain myself. If you, now, see if this shoe fits, if you can wear this. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the only living God, if you have read in the Word and believe in your heart and know that Jesus is the Christ, if you have had a relationship with God, if you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, if you have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the presence of God has moved in you, and you have spoken in other tongues as the Spirit has given you the utterance. If you have experienced these things, if the shoe fits, put it on. Put it on. Wear it. Keep it. Live in it. I tell you, it's exciting to me to know who Jesus is. Amen. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. It's the biggest thing in my life is knowing who God is. Amen. If this shoe fits, if you know Him, if you know Jesus, then you know how powerful you, go like this, how powerful you are. Amen. I'm not just talking about words from the willy-nilly out in the world. I'm not talking about the words of a president of a country. I'm not talking about the words of a king over a nation. No, I'm talking about more powerful words. More powerful than the generals of the earth. I'm talking about more powerful than mankind has ever conceived. I'm talking about the words of a Holy Ghost filled child of God. Amen. I hope I drew that picture where you can see what I'm talking about. Amen. Do you understand that the power, if this shoe fits, if this is you, then you know, you understand that the power you have is in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of the Almighty, bar none, higher than everything, God, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Do you know that the name of Jesus is applied to your life? In the waters of baptism, in the name of Jesus. That's how the name of Jesus is applied to our lives. It's in obedience. Yes, it's in believing. Yes, you must believe in Jesus Christ that He is the only living God, that He is your God. And when you believe that, you confess that, and you ask God to forgive you, you repent of your sins, then you are ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and have the name of the one that died on the cross at Calvary applied to your life. Woo! You know that does a wonderful thing. All of hell can't keep sin in your life at that point. That because of the power of the name of Jesus, which is the most high power in all that has ever been, that is right now, the name of Jesus removes, forgives, remits, pays for sin. That is powerful. Man, it don't matter what other people think. It don't matter what other people say. The Word of God says there's remission in the name. Remission of sins. Right there, read it on the verse of Scripture behind me. The remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is powerful. Oh, there's power in our words. Do you comprehend? Do you understand the power of the applied blood? That's how, in baptism, the blood of Jesus Christ that died on the cross of Calvary, His blood, His sacrifice is applied to our lives in baptism. Amen. The power of the blood. You can plead the blood of Jesus. Amen. Plead it over your job. God, protect me. God, help me. Plead it over your children. God, protect my children. God, protect my wife. God, protect my home. God, bless my church. You can bleed the blood of Jesus. It's powerful. It's powerful. If you've got this experience, I'm trying to express to you the power that has been given unto you. Do you know that the power that created and sustains the universe, the power that keeps the sun where it is, the heavens where they are, it's a miracle. It's the hand of God. That power is the power of the Holy Ghost. God's power is in the Holy Ghost. Because of you, because of who you are, because this shoe fits, the words that come out of your mouth are powerful. There's power in the spoken word. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." I'll tell you, I hope, child of God, you can comprehend. You're going to need the ability given to you by Almighty God to even comprehend this very fact, that there is power in your word. Yeah. Believing is powerful. But what we say about what we believe is even more powerful. Be careful. Be careful of your words. Be careful what you say. I've heard some people say, "All hell is broke loose." Nope. If you're still here on this earth, it can't be that bad. My advice is stop saying that. That's not true. You might be sick in your body. You might have gotten hurt. You might be in a catastrophe. You might have been in a desperate situation. But it ain't that bad. In fact, you can change your words and it will affect your condition. Stop saying the negative stuff and start believing God for godly stuff. Start believing God for His word, for the power in His name. Brother Fred was saying how that he got part of his message from his wife. Well, I got the other, 2 days ago, Sister Greeley was telling me about, she was listening to a message that Mark Morgan was preaching. I don't know if you know, Brother Mark Morgan is a frequent speaker at our Winter Fire Conference. I believe he is from California. He's a pastor. He founded that church. It's a growing, wonderful, great apostolic Jesus name church. I believe he is a superintendent, or I don't know. But he is a leader in our fellowship. Okay, he's a well-spoken preacher, and he was preaching about how the devil is a liar. Someone say that with me: the devil is a liar. Stop listening to the devil. If the devil is speaking to you, he's lying to you. Stop. Stop listening to the lies. And this well-renowned preacher was telling the story how he had to overcome his own condition. How that he himself was suffering from anxiety and depression. You see, he had a heart problem and he had physical problems. He had knee problems and he had a heart problem and he had leg problems and he couldn't walk anymore and it was causing anxiety, and it'll bend your mind. It'll make you think things that don't make sense. If you let the world or your condition get to you, it will get to you. When the devil is speaking to you, things like, you'll never walk again. You'll never preach again. You cannot stop your decline. That your heart has got problems and you're going to die. Your anxiety is going to get worse. Your depression is going to deepen before you die. And then the Holy Ghost moved upon Brother Morgan in this low spot in his life. And he told about the story of Job. Now, if anybody in the Bible had a really hard way to go, it would be the story of Job. Now, just a few points of consideration in that story. The devil had brought up Job before God. And he emphasized that, yeah, he should be happy. He's so blessed. You've got a hedge around him. You don't let anything touch him. You protect him in every way. You protect everything he has, everything he's about, all that he does. But if you just let me touch him, he'll fall. Okay, you can touch him. You cannot kill him. The devil got permission to touch Job. Right away, in one day, all at once, his wealth was gone. His herds, his flocks, his servants were gone. The wind came and tore down the house where his children were, and his children were killed. And then his health went over the cliff. Boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, over the face of his body. He was in painful agony. And then his wife gave him the, just advised him, just curse God and die. Things went bad fast. Brother Morgan came to the conclusion, if the devil is telling me that I'm going to not be able to walk again, that means I'm going to walk again. If the devil is saying that I can't get past my depression, anxiety is real. Anxiety can take over your life. I've been a fisherman for a lot of years. I don't go as much as I'd like, but I like to fish. I had an accident once, almost drowned, but I came through it. I got rescued. Then I thought, well, I got to go back in the boat and I got to go out there again. And I got in 4 inches, I'm talking about 4 inches of water on a sandy beach. I put that canoe in there, and when I shoved off with the paddle and the boat did the little wiggly jig in the canoe, anxiety flooded me. It was uncontrollable. I can't explain it. It was beyond comprehension. It took over. I stepped out of the boat, stood on the shore. I cannot believe what just happened. I'm not a weak person, but that anxiety took over my life. It was uncontrollable at that moment. You know what I got to realize? Is that's a lie from the devil. That's a lie. I am not going to drown. If I lay down on my back, my belly wouldn't even get wet. I am not going to drown in 4 inches of water. I can lay there and sunbathe. It's a lie. But yet, our humanity, our flesh, our carnality is willing to accept and believe the lie from Satan to the point that it can take over your life. Do not believe the lie of the devil. The devil might try to say that your heart condition is going to get worse. No, the devil will tell you that, but I refuse to believe it. Amen. I'm a testimony that God can heal heart disease. He can heal a heart condition that the doctors didn't give you much hope for. He can make you stronger than you were before. Amen. If the devil could take you down, if the devil could kill you, you would be dead. The devil does not, someone say not. The devil does not have permission over my life. Jesus is my God. He is my creator. He, Jesus, is the Almighty God. Only Jesus has control of my life. Only Jesus can heal my body. Only Jesus can deliver my soul. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And let me tell you, it's Jesus. Don't believe the lie of the devil. Don't believe him. Don't believe the lie of the devil. Brother Morgan came to that condition. He got mad at Satan. Just go ahead then and do it. You can't do it because you don't have permission. I tell you what, Jesus Christ is the preserver of my life. He is the keeper of my soul. Jesus Christ is the blesser of my home. He is able to keep my family. He's able to keep my marriage. He's able to keep this church. Amen. Be careful what you say. If we can change what we're saying, we will change what we're seeing. BC, before Christ, you live one way. After Jesus, we need to live another way. We need to live after Jesus Christ. And when you are living in the name of Jesus, when your life is focused upon Him, when you're doing everything you can to live for God, God is in control of your life. You might be sick in your body, but you can believe, put your finger on the page, I am healed in the name of Jesus. I will be recovered. The recovery is sure. It's going to happen. You can believe it. You can trust in it. Amen. Jesus said, say to the mountain, believe what you're saying, and you shall have what you say. In the name of Jesus. I'm not one of those preachers that says blab it and grab it. No, that's not what I'm preaching. You misunderstanding my speech if that's what you think. I'm saying when you are living for God, the devil does not control your life. When you are living for God, Jesus controls my life. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 13. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe He's the Almighty God. I believe there is no other God but He. Open your mouth and say so. Let it take a hold of your life. If that shoe fits, put it on. The Apostle Paul said, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I've preached many times that Jesus Christ is a healer, that Jesus Christ is the deliverer, that Jesus Christ is our salvation, and He's all those things. He's everything to me. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. In Old Testament situation, I'm trying to emphasize the power of our word now, the power of what we say. Every one of us comes into life conditions where life becomes hard. Something happens in our life. Things happen because we're human. Because we still live in a fleshly body. Things happen to the flesh. Things happen to those around us. Life continues on. The Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, it's a powerful story. Just let me summarize. Her only son dies in the field, probably from heat stroke. They don't know what to do. He's fallen down, my head, and he's now laid out. They rush the boy to the mother. He was in the field with his dad. The mother placed her dead son, the son's body, on the prophet's bed. You see, they had made a little room on the side of their house where the prophet would come and he would rest at their house on his travels, and they were familiar with the man of God. It's good that you are familiar with the man of God, with the presence of the Lord. She laid that boy on that prophet's bed. Then left the child to go and find the prophet. Don't slow down, don't slow up, unless I tell you, hurry and find him, bring me, speaking to the servants, bring me to the prophet. She's desperate. When Elisha saw the woman coming furiously in a hurry, in a rush, the prophet knew that something had happened. God didn't tell him ahead of time, or didn't say that in the Bible, but the prophet sent the servant with instructions. She's hurrying along. A cloud of smoke is, or dust is raising up behind them, I presume. The assumption by the prophet is something is wrong. Elisha sent his servant out to meet her with instructions. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, number one, is it well with thee? Instruction number two, is it well with thy husband? Instruction number three, is it well with the child? Get this, this is beyond natural human understanding. This is incredibly amazing. And she answered, it is well. Someone say that. It is well. What kind of condition are you in? What kind of thing is going on at your house? What kind of problem could the world put upon you? What has happened in your life? I don't know what all the problem. If there's 40 people, if there's 80 people, there's 40 or 80 problems. At least some people have more than one problem. She answered, it is well. Think what she just said. Was it well with her? No. She just lost her only son. That's not okay. Was it well with her husband? Dad had the boy in the field when he passed out and died. No. It's not okay with Dad. It's not okay for your son to fall out of heat stroke. It's not okay. Is it well with her son? No. He's dead. I couldn't fault her if she just cried out loud and wept and wailed and moaned and groaned and complained before the man of God. I wouldn't fault her. But that's not what she did. Get this now. It's a powerful lesson for us to learn. Yeah, you might be in a condition, you might have a problem, there might be something going on in your life that you cannot control, that you didn't deserve, that you don't know how to fix. It might be beyond your own ability. But she said, it is well. By her saying that, it leads me to believe that she had an understanding that was before it was spoken in the New Testament. She had an understanding of the principle that God has of our words. You can speak and God will honor your faith. She had a grasp of this principle. The principle that is later in the New Testament in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, calling those things which are not as though they are. It is a huge consequence what we say, especially when we are under attack, when we are in a a hard situation, when we may be beyond our own understanding. It is a huge consequence of what we say. Job, in all his trouble, he sinned not. Neither did he charge God foolishly. He never once said, it's God's fault. He did say, though the skin worms devour this body. Remember, he's got boils everywhere. Catastrophe has hit every part of his life. Yet in my flesh I shall see God. He spoke a word of faith. He spoke the word that he knew. I tell you, I know. I don't think or just pretend or I don't believe, just believe. I know that God is good. I know it. Though he slay me, I will serve him. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. I will not lose my faith in God. No matter what comes or what goes, no matter what life brings or what life takes, no matter what goes on, I will believe God. I will believe Jesus. When you are going through that trial, and there may be some here today that are in the midst of that very thing, when you are in the middle of that trouble, it's time to express your faith. Please, please, please try to comprehend. Faith moves God. Say that with me. Faith moves God. Nothing moves God like faith moves God. It's not in the guitar or the drums or the musician or the microphones or the screen, or it's not in the air conditioning. It's not in the building. It's not in the preparations. It's not in the plans. It's in God. Faith moves God. It's not because of what we do. It's because of what he did. It's because of Jesus. Paul wrote in Romans 10 verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. I can preach the word totally confident that the word of God is true. I don't have to worry about overspeaking my bounds, because if I say the word is true. I can stand on the word of God. I can believe that the word is true. I can preach with all confidence in Jesus. Joshua in chapter 10 is one of the Bible's most powerful illustrations of speaking faith. Joshua is under attack. I've got to hurry. There's a coalition, an agreement of the warring kings around him. There were five kings. They're named. Each of the kings had armies. Five armies are come against Joshua. Joshua's army is outnumbered. They're outflanked. They're on every side. They're outmaneuvered. It looks like they are facing certain defeat and total destruction. It looks bad. God steps into the battle. The battle turns in Joshua's favor. And all five kings and their armies run away. God can turn around your battle in a day. It's not hard for God to give you the victory. Amen. God is able to win the victory in your life. Joshua gives chase. He's chasing after the enemy. The problem is the sun is waning. The day is all spent. It's time for the night to take over. The enemy are fleeing, running for their lives. They're hoping to disappear into the night and escape. But it looks like the retreating kings, their armies, it looks like they're going to get away into the dark of the night. Joshua is determined these five kings and their armies will not get away. They will not get away. We will have victory today. Someone say, today. Someone say it like you mean it. You want victory in your life today. I'm telling you, you can have victory in your life today. Joshua speaks a word of faith. Let me show you how powerful a word of faith is. Joshua chapter 10, beginning at verse 12 to 14, just three verses. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Our words are powerful. Someone almost certainly, I don't know all your conditions. Excuse me. To wet my whistle. Certainly, with this many people in the house, there are people here under the sound of my voice that have a condition, that have a problem, that have a situation, that have something in your life that you cannot control, that is outside of your ability, that this is a job for God. You can. Someone say, I can. Point at your own self. I can speak the word of faith. I've heard the preaching. I've read it in the Word of God. I know what it says. I know the promises of God. They are true. We can change if, this is a big two-letter word. If you can change what you're saying, we can change what we're seeing. Amen. It's true. I'm talking to the children of God, people who believe in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about people who have the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. There is power in your words. The Gospels contain the story of a little woman who had an issue of blood. I preached on the story a whole bunch of times. We preached primarily three things. That she made her way to Jesus. You know, she crawled in through the, under the knees. She crawled down on her knees to get through the people. She forced her way through the crowd. She pressed through the people. She overcame the obstacle. But perhaps that preaching is just a little shy of where it should be. These steps are the manifestation of her faith. It's what she did because she had faith. The expression of her faith is found in Matthew 9, verse 21. For she said within herself, say within yourself the word of faith. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She had heard about the healings that Jesus did for the thousands. She heard on how that just touching the hem. If I can do it, if I can get there, she said her word was powerful. She spoke a word of faith. And then Billy, she acted on it. Maybe you don't have the whole Bible memorized yet. But can you remember one word? Can you remember one thing? Can you remember a word of faith? What she said propelled her into that decision. She made that decision to make it, to touch his garment. And what she said brought the miraculous. It came to pass. What she said actually happened. She said, if I can touch his garment, and then there was the trouble, the pressing, getting through the crowd. There was crawling on the ground. There was all this stuff getting through the crowd and fighting the adverse conditions. She did it. Touched him. And what she said came to pass. Stand with me. Musicians, come. I'm closing here. I got the last few comments. I declare God's blessing and favor on my family and my church. I declare God's healing and restoration on my family and on my church. I declare God's wisdom and direction for my family and my church. I declare God's power over every adversary that comes against my family or my church. The centurion came to Jesus asking for healing for his servant. Jesus said, let's go. Let's go see him. The servant, now he had an understanding of orders. He's a military man. He understood that someone with authority can speak a word, and that authority makes it happen. Not so, Lord. I'm not worthy that you should come under my house, that you should come under my roof. You don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word. And that's enough. Great is thy faith when you speak the word of God. Speak the word of God in your life. Speak the word of God over your children, over your family, over your church. Speak the word of God. Believe what ye say, and ye shall have it. A week ago Wednesday, I had mentioned Brother Billy Cole, how that he would say, very often, in fact, he would say what you see in faith until you see what you say. Now, there's people in here that have been in the United Pentecostal Church perhaps a long time. I have, over 50 years. I've known Billy Cole for a very long time. I was about 20 when I met Billy Cole. And I'm 64 now, so that was a while ago. Billy Cole pastors a little, or he did when he was alive. He's went on to his maker now, but he pastored a little small country mountain church in West Virginia. And he would speak faith. Billy Cole said it for 30 plus, I believe, years. He would say it over and over again before great multitudes, over great conventions and churches and over huge crowds. I will see over 3,000 people filled with the Holy Ghost in one day. He would proclaim it. He would preach it. He believed it. Do you know that Billy Cole went on to preach some of the greatest, or that I know of, greatest outpourings of the Holy Ghost that I've ever heard of? With over 100,000 worshipers. Billy Cole said it over and over and over again. I'm going to see 3,000 people filled in one day. And he's the pastor of a mountain church in West Virginia with a handful of folks. Billy Cole saw over 3,000 people filled with the Holy Ghost in a single day more than 13 times. In countries around the world. We got that little tent. It's 38 by 86 feet. The tent we use. We got that tent, and I got a word from God. That God is going to use this, and I'm going to be a part of it, of seeing over 100 souls come as visitors to a church. You know, and at the time, I was the pastor in a little storefront with 10 people. What are you talking about, bringing 100 people to somebody else's church? What are you talking about? Well, I just preach it anyway. Brother Jeff Chavis, Spring Lake, North Carolina, held a service. We brought that tent. More than 500 people came for the planting of that church. That church is still alive and well and preaching Jesus Christ today. Amen. Keep saying it till God does it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep praying for your family. Keep praying for your children. Keep praying for your spouse. Speak the word of faith. Keep saying it. Speak in faith until you see it. Would you worship the Lord with me? I'm inviting you. Would you raise your hands and magnify God? Come on to the front of this church and let's worship the Lord together. Let's conclude this time together that we have in worship and magnifying God. Let's go ahead and worship the Lord with all that is within us, with everything that we have, with all that we know. You can speak the word of faith today and God will bring it to pass. Lift your hands and magnify God. Worship Him with me.
Kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus. Of all the times I've tried before and failed, if they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. Oh, you'll never win. Yeah. But the voice of truth tells me
time again, boy, you'll never win.
heard about the blind man at his side. I heard about the daughter you brought back to life. Heard about the thousands that you fed. Only two fishes, five loaves of bread. Still I believe the greatest miracle of all is the work that you've done in me. Daughter that you brought back to life. Oh, I heard about thousands that you fed. Only two fish and five loaves of bread. Oh, still I believe the greatest miracle of all. Thank you for the greatest miracle, God.